Have your Bible, please stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read out of Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 24 and following. And it's good to be able to come in the house of God to worship Him among His people. Amen. If you have your Bible, say amen. All right. Look at your name and say, glad you're here today. Glad to see everybody here. You're dry. We're dry in here. And let it rain on. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We know it is true. We ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit inspired the writing of these words would begin to speak to our hearts today. Speak to our minds, Lord. If we need to be encouraged today, would you encourage us? If we need to be convicted today, would you convict us? Lord, whatever you need in us to help us walk closer to you, would you do that today? Father, help me to be a plain preacher, so plain that a child can understand. And of everyone in the room today, there is strict judgment on my life. For rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place as being a preacher of your word. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. You may be seated as we are looking at Genesis. We've been in Genesis for so long. Galatians chapter 5, we'll start at verse 16. Before we do so, let's set this up a little bit, because we've been talking about how the Judaizers are coming in. They're trying to distort the gospel, and Paul's kind of corrects some errors. We focused on the Judaizers twisting or distorting of the gospel quite a bit throughout this book. But there's also another group also that was distorting the gospel as well. You have what's called people who are legalist. Okay, so the legalist would be, you know, your Judaizers who say that, you know, you have to do this, you have to look, you have to act a certain way, do these certain things, and then you will work your way to heaven, thus, you know, be circumcised, come under the law of Moses. And we've got legalists in our day too, you know, right? Don't go to movies, don't cut your hair, things like that. This is what you need to do, and if you do these things, then you will go to heaven because of what you do or do not do. Then you have this other group over here. They're the libertarians. And they just believe that, hey, you know, we have been freed from our sin. We're saved. So, woohoo, guess what? We can do whatever we want to do. Live however we want to live. It doesn't matter because we're saved, right? We can go up there and just live however we want to. And that's not right, Chase. I mean, that's what people think, but right? But that's not the way it should be. And let me give you a big word for that group here. This will make you think, you know, sound like you've gone to seminary. When you leave here, you can tell somebody. It's called antinomianism. And that big word. You just go, ooh, well, that's so deep. Antinomianism. That means anti-law. That you've been so freed from the law that I don't need to worry about how I live. That's an error. That's an error. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you just go out there and just do whatever you want and sin and have a good time and, hey, because you've been saved, right? That's the extreme. It's kind of like, you know, you have your legalist and your libertarians over here, and it's like the game of tennis. Some of y'all play tennis. All right, there's still not very many tennis players, fair. I don't know. We had like two in the first thing. So, but anyway, I've watched this before. Be like, you know, the legalist would say, you know, they would look at the game and they would say, you know, that game, it's too simple. We need to make the net higher so that it's more challenging for people to hit it over the net, right? And those lines, they're too wide. That court, it's way too wide. We need to narrow it down, you know, make it harder for people to be able to get that ball in there, right? That's your legalist attitude. Then your libertarians over here would say, you know, I don't even know why we have a net. That net, it makes me feel bad about myself. Because when I hit the ball in the net, it makes me feel like I can't play the game. So I tell you what, let's do away with the net. And those lines on the court, what are they there for? Tell me I hit it out of bounds. We don't need no out of bounds, so let's just do away with the lines. Well, what happens in either scenario is you lose the game of tennis. It ceases to become that game when you go to the extreme of one or the other. And so what Paul wants us to know is that in Christ Jesus, that's where our life is at. Our freedom comes in following Jesus. We can experience a joyful life because of Jesus. We get to heaven because of Jesus. We live in abundance because of Jesus. It's because of Him that we've been saved. And so in Him, if we will walk in Him, we will have an experience, that a life that is joyful and filled with fruit that only He can produce. And that's what we're going to talk about. So he says that we have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, let me ask you something. Crucifixion, is that an immediate death or is that a slow death? Slow death. Does spiritual maturity happen all of a sudden or does it take time? Is it a process? It's a process. It takes time, right? Jesus said, and he told his disciples, take up your cross how often? Daily and follow me, right? So it's just this growing process that we're constantly crucifying the flesh that's in us. Not so that we walk in the Spirit, so that we actually enjoy the game of life. So there's two things I want to focus on, two phrases. And this will all make sense at the end of the message. If it doesn't now, or even in the middle, if you think, I don't know where he's going, it'll all wind up somehow fitting, okay? Just stay with me. There's going to be two phrases, okay? We're going to play to win, and we're going to walk it out. All right, so look at your neighbor and say, play to win. Now look at them and say, walk it out. We're going to walk it out. Okay, here we go. Let's go back to verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, but I say, walk by the what? Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Okay, walk in the Spirit. That word walk, it can mean walk, like a normal walk. It also can mean to walk after or to chase after something or to pursue something. And so what Paul is saying is that we need to walk after, we need to chase after, we need to walk in the Spirit. So we need to chase after God's voice and His leading. And so where He says for us to go, that's where we go. What He says for us to do, that's what we do. What He says for us to say, that's what we say. So he says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. We'll get back to this verse at the very end. Let's continue. Verse 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Those of us who are Christians, how many of you all can say amen to this verse? How many of you all still experience this inner conflict that you have between your flesh, the old you, your old sin nature, and then the new you that you've been born again? How many of you all experience an inner conflict at times in your life? Okay, I want to make sure that I'm not the only one out here that experiences this, okay? And what Paul, he is preaching to all believers, okay? So this is all Christians. Can I tell you, you will never arrive on this side of earth, on this side of heaven. Earth, we're going to be here until we die. You'll never arrive. You'll never be perfect. You'll never not ever deal with this. And the people that scare me are the ones who think that they're so spiritual that they never deal with anything anymore. That's the people that bother me. Because what Paul says is that there's this battle that goes on between the flesh and the Spirit, and our flesh does not want us to do the things that God wants us to do. You've experienced that, right? You knew, you've had this, you know, God's maybe led you to do something, and your flesh fought you over it. Amen? Maybe you found yourself doing things that you know the Spirit would not want you to do, but you're doing it anyway. There's this battle raging within us that we're fighting the flesh against the Spirit. He says in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. But if you are led by the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, in that verse 16, there's a promise there that if we walk by the Spirit, actually that's a command, walk by the Spirit, and then the promise is you will not desire the lust of the flesh. We can have victory in our Christian life, okay? Just because there's a battle doesn't mean we lose. It means that there's a battle. And what Paul is saying is that as we walk in the Spirit and we're led by the Spirit, we win. Look at Jeremy and say, I'm going to play to win. I'm going to play to win. I'm going to win this game, okay? I'm going to win this game of life. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to let Satan defeat me. I am going to win because I have someone greater in me than he that's in the world. So the Holy Spirit, he is stronger than my flesh, though my flesh is strong and though my flesh tries to pull me away from what God wants, but I have the Spirit of God living in me so I can win. Amen? I'm going to play to win. He goes on. Now the deeds of the flesh are what? Evident. What's evident mean? All right, this is a church where you can talk. Okay? All right? You've been to some churches where you weren't allowed to talk, and you went to someone, shh, been in one of those churches, shh, shh, shh. I was shh a lot when I was a kid. How many of y'all got shh all the time? Shh. Now I'm going to let you talk. Now you won't talk. All right? Now he's going to talk to me, but now you all might not talk to me, so he will. See? So evident means obvious. Okay, so these are obvious. So Paul says that the deeds of the flesh, the things of the world, the things of the flesh that we wrestle against, it's obvious, okay? And he gives us a list. Let's look at them. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just I have forewarned you in past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If that's your way of life, if that's the way you live, if that is your attitude and you live a lifestyle of that with no thought of anything of being repentant about it, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says these are the deeds of the flesh. They're evident. Now, I'll put these in a chart. Warren Wiersbe put it in three groups. He called it sensual, superstitious, and social. So you have your sensual sins. You have your immorality, impurity, sensuality, drunkenness, and carousing. These appeal to our pleasures, right? Immorality. What is immorality? That's adultery. That is when two people who aren't married, or who are married, are having sex with someone other than their spouse. That is of the flesh. That is what? Sin. Now I know. Here we go. Oh. This is one of those churches that believe in sin. Yeah, we believe in sin. Because sin will destroy and kill you. But thanks be to God that he redeemed us from our sin. Okay? Now, these aren't in bold because, you know, all sin is sin. But now I know in our culture we're very sexual, and our media and our advertising and everything about this culture screams sex. That's sin, impurity, uncleanness, sexual impurity. That's just folks just sleeping with people, that married, not married, just doing whatever you want to do. That is sin and that's wrong. Sensuality is just complete, downright disregard, doing whatever you want to do. All sex outside of marriage is sin. Okay? That includes homosexuality. It's sin, it's wrong, okay? That sin, sexual sin struggle, is no different than a heterosexual sin struggle. We all got urges. Y'all have ever felt urges? How many of y'all got urges? We've all had urges. And we either can feed the flesh and act upon that, or we walk by the Spirit and put that out, okay? And so what we, what we got to realize is that we're living in a culture. It's not unlike it was back in the Roman days. They were just as ornery as what we have going on here. Even in the Old Testament, I mean, Jeremiah, when he's speaking of the Israelites, he says, are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? He says, no, they have no shame at all. They don't even know how to blush. You know, it's a sad state in our society when we don't even blush about our sin anymore. When we think it's normal that you can just sleep with whoever you want to and it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it matters. It is sinful, it is of the flesh, and it is wrong. What we look at with our eyes matters. That computer can become a Pandora's box that opens up stuff that will destroy your life. I'll get down there and I'll amen myself if I have to. I'll keep saying, preach on, preacher. I believe I will. I know it's not popular and it doesn't go with our culture because our culture says it doesn't matter what you do. And Paul says, man, it's evident. This is of the flesh. Anything of the flesh is sinful, is wrong. Drunkenness is wrong. It's sinful. Okay? It's an obvious thing, Paul says. Some people are like, well, I tell you, today in our sophisticated world, you know, we have evolved into a higher intellectual. No. There's nothing new under the sun. The temptations and struggles that we deal with today have been temptations and struggles that have been with them ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. Do you understand? Carousing. That means wild parties. Going to wild parties. That's of the flesh. Those are sensual. Then you have your superstitious sins. You have idolatry. And we think, whew, that's one that we don't deal with. Idolatry, because, you know, we don't live in the Greek and Roman culture where they got little false statues and false gods where they pay homage to. And really, a translation of that also is gadgets. Gadgets. Any of y'all carry a little gadget in your pocket that controls your life? It's called your phone. I mean, I used to live in a day. Teenagers, this is going to be weird. This is ancient days. Used to, a long time ago, way back when the dinosaurs existed, a phone was only used as a way to verbally communicate. Can you believe that? Now it's everything. How many of you have forgotten your phone at home? Drove 4 or 5 miles out, and then you look over and you're like, where's my phone? Turn around, go back to the house, and get it. Anybody? Huh? Right? Now, let me ask this question. How many of you all have forgotten your Bible? Gotten 4 or 5 miles out, and went, where's my Bible? Turn back around, go get it, and go, whew, got my Bible. Yeah, that's a cough out. Yeah, it's on my phone. I went back and got my phone because my Bible was on it. Whew, glad I got my Bible phone. That's good. Yeah, we have this other gadget. It's got these neat numbers on it. And if you got Dish Network, you can hit 140 and then Sports Center. And that remote is my remote. Huh? That's holy. Thou shalt not touch the remote. And then a lot of us, we like to worship these guys on these little green papers. I just got a Lincoln. I really like Benjamin. Grant's okay, but, you know, Benjamin. And these icons, these images on paper, we worship. We'll do whatever we can to get more of it. Idolatry. It's of the flesh. Sorcery. That's witchcraft. Getting involved in the occult. Black magic. Demonic activity. Oh, I just play a game. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah, but it's very dark in that game. And it can lead you down a path that takes you away from the things of God. Be careful. Be careful. It may seem like a game, but it can turn around and capture your soul. It's of the flesh. Your social sins, enmities. Enmity means hatred. How many of you have ever hated someone? You just carried hatred in your heart. That'll destroy you. You'll be all mad and hating somebody. And you'll be all wadded up, and you'll be mad and hateful and bitter, and they're out there having a good old time. They may not even know you hate them. But here, you're going to ruin your life over harboring hate. He says, strife, that's discord. That is trying to cause trouble. To, when things are going well, spin the negative and try to stop something from being able. Have you ever been around a killjoy? Huh? I mean, things are going good and you're celebrating everything. Well, I tell you that they didn't do this right, or that didn't go right. Well, thank you. Trying to cause problems. This happens all over. It happens in churches, workplaces, families, people trying to cause problems, discord, jealousy. You know, jealousy will kill you. Jealous of what other people may have that you don't have, that you think you needed, or what a position someone has that you didn't get, or jealous over what someone's doing that you're not able to do. And you let jealousy. Something happens. Why did this happen to me? Why didn't it happen to somebody else? Jealousy, bitterness, all this begins to creep in and it's of the flesh. Outburst of anger. What's that mean? It's outburst of anger. Having a quick temper, getting hot, you know, yelling, screaming, not being able to control your temper. I've seen dads just lose it over their kid dropping something. You know, their kids. Those of us who have parents and you got small children, some of y'all know they make a lot of messes. Sheesh, they do. Just not being able to control, you know, at a workplace and something doesn't go right, just ripping into somebody or ripping into something. Disputes, arguments. This is selfish ambition. This has a political tone to it, where you're trying to corral people to your party so that you can be recognized and so that you can be known, so that people can say, man, aren't they great? Aren't they wonderful? This is what they get to do. This is what they do. And trying to have selfish ambition of doing things, not for pure motives or pure reasons, but about you. Can I tell you, if you serve Jesus and you make it about you, it's not of God. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's not about people being able to recognize how great of a job you did. It's about people being blessed by Jesus, whether you get recognition or not. Selfish ambition, he says. What else? Dissensions, factions, envy, all of these things that split and divide and get people hating, arguing, fighting, fussing, all of that is of the flesh, which is of the devil, which is not of God, it's not of Christ. And he says, I forewarn you again, as I've also forewarned you, that those who practice these things, they'll not inherit the kingdom of God. Now we know when we went through the book of 1 John that he tells us that a believer does not continue or live in sin. It doesn't mean that a believer cannot sin, because we all, a lot of believers in here, and how many of you all have lost your temper before? How many of you all have harbored bitterness in your heart or jealousy in your heart before? Okay, so you can be a believer, and you can harbor some of this, and you can be a part of some of this, but the difference is you cannot remain in this. This is not your lifestyle. This is not who you are. You do not continually live in this. You cannot be this way for a long period of time without the Holy Spirit convicting and correcting you. Okay? So there's the flesh. There's the spirit. They're in opposition to one another. But I'm here to tell you that we can win. We walk it out. We'll talk about that as we continue to look at this. We're going to walk it out. Now, look, watch this. Now, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, watch. He's two systems here. Works of the flesh. Kill. And then you have the fruit, singular, fruit of the Spirit. Now, works of the flesh, when you work something, that's something you do. When you have fruit, you can only cultivate that. You can't make that happen. Right? How many of y'all planted some tomato plants this year? All right? Tomato plants have done well. And you've planted some tomato plants. You planted the seed. You cultivated it. You planted the seed. You watered it. You nurtured it. But did you cause it to grow? No. The fruit of the Spirit, hear me, is not a work that you do. You can do the things that you can cultivate an area and an atmosphere where the Spirit has more control over you. But the fruit of the Spirit is what is produced in a life that is led by the Spirit. So as I walk in the Spirit, as I am walking after God, and I'm listening to His voice, and I'm following Him, then the fruit of the Spirit comes out of my life. So love comes out of my life. Patience comes out of my life. Gentleness comes out of my life. So we have three categories broken up into this one as well. And if you go to the chart for me on the fruit of the Spirit, you have your upward, outward, and inward. Upward to God, we love God. We love God and our neighbors. We experience His love. And we have joy. The joy of the Lord is in our heart. And we experience the peace of knowing God. We let the peace of God rule our hearts. We have outward, how our lives affects other people around us. We have patience. We have kindness. And we have goodness. We treat people kindly. It's a result of what God's done inwardly. It affects our outward. And then inwardly, we're filled with faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We begin to do as Paul said. We have crucified the flesh with its lusts and its passions. How do we do this? He goes on. Look at verse 24. We started with this. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live, here we go again. If we live by the what? Let us also walk by the Spirit, or keep in step with the Spirit. Okay, now watch. Verse 16, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the lust of the flesh. He says, if we're walking by the Spirit, we are not under a law. This is a life of freedom. This is a life when you are in the game and you're playing, and you're so caught up enjoying the game that you don't even feel like you're playing the game. You're not even have to think. How many of y'all, I got some sports people among us, and Those of you just work with me for a while, I got a sports mind, okay? Have you ever been playing in a game where, man, you were just caught up in the game where it seemed like everything was clicking? I mean, you were making the pass that needed to be passed, or you were making the block that you needed to make, and it was just going, and you were just enjoying the game. You weren't worried about missing a shot. How many of y'all ever played, and you missed a couple shots, and you started thinking, oh, Lord. You know, it happens to me in golf. How many of y'all are golfers? The thing about golf, you know the term shank? That's a dirty word on the golf course. If you shank a ball, you don't even say, I shanked it. Because the other golfers will almost pounce you on it. They'll be like, don't say that word! Shanking means when you get there and you hit, and then the ball just goes, bing! And then you know what happens? Now, this happens to me because I'm not a really good golfer. I mean, really good golfers can probably break this out. But I get up over the ball the next time, what am I thinking? Don't shank the ball. Don't shake the ball. Don't hit it. Right? I'm thinking so hard about not doing what I'm not supposed to do that I can't enjoy doing what I'm supposed to do, right? Anybody ever watched a team that looks like they're playing not to lose? Well, playing not to lose. There's a difference between playing not to lose and playing to win, right? I was on an incredible team in my sophomore year. I mean, we had a perfect season. It was unbelievable. We lost every single game. It was amazing the feat we accomplished. I mean, whew, it was wonderful. And there's this one time when we were in a game and we were up and we were winning. It's like a minute and a half to go, you know. And so our coach calls a timeout. He's like, all right, boys, here's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to pass the ball around and do all this stuff. And we start playing not to lose. And guess what? We lost. We're so worried about not losing that we lost. Have you all ever been on a diet before? How many of y'all been on 4 diets in like the same week? You say, I'm not eating those donuts anymore. Donuts are gone. And your wife brings in a box of donuts. And then they're in the kitchen. And they start speaking to you. And your flesh hears that. And you start saying, I'm not eating a donut. I'm not going to eat the donut. 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 Not eating the donut. Not eating the donut. And then all of a sudden, she flips the light on. And you're eating the donut. Because I'm so focused on what I'm not supposed to do that I can't just enjoy it. Now, here's the key of plan to win. Here's how you walk in the Spirit. When you are so consumed with living for your Savior that your desire is to do what he wants you to do, to go where he wants you to go, say what he wants you to say, live how he wants you to live. When you are consumed with that as your goal, then all the other stuff doesn't get your attention. The flesh has no master over you because you're walking in the Spirit. So therefore, man, you are loving your brother. You are loving your sister. You don't have time to hate them. You are walking in the joy of the Lord that you don't have time to be upset. You are walking with the mindset that you want to build the kingdom of God, that you have no desire or no temptation to defeat it or to hinder it. And so here's what I want to challenge all of us today, myself included. I want to challenge you, I want to challenge myself, that this week, starting today as we leave this place, that we will play to win, that we will walk it out. What does that mean? That means that we will be focused on what Jesus wants us to do, talking to him, praying to him, living for him, that we're not worried about all these things that are of the flesh, that the flesh doesn't even have a chance to speak to us because we're so consumed with what God wants us to do. Your quiet time in the mornings. your time to study, to pray, to hear from God. Opening up the Bible. Some of you who are Christians, that's maybe you haven't done that in a while. And you haven't taken time to set your mind on that day with a game plan of thinking, I'm planning to win today. I'm going to walk it out. I'm going to be prayed up. I'm going to have my mind right. That way, when the flesh speaks, I can't hear it because I'm so consumed with what God wants me to do. There's people to bless. There's people to pray for. There's joy to bring. I'm going to go in to work and bring joy. I don't care if everybody else on Monday hates being there. I'm going to bring joy. And when somebody starts complaining about the boss or is complaining about this person, I'm just going to shut it down. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm glad I got a job. Let's enjoy this. Let's embrace this. Teachers, some of you got kids that come in. You never know. Here's the awesome thing about being a teacher, okay? It's not the pay, I know that. But you've got kids among you that you have no idea what their life was like that weekend. That the best hours of their day are in your classroom. That the best meal that they get that day is in the lunchroom. The most comfort that they feel that day and security they feel that day is right there with you. And you've got a chance to love them. There are so many hurting people around us. There are so many things that God has for us to do and be about that if we will focus on that, then the flesh doesn't even have a thought in our mind. We're in the game and everything's clicking, man. Everything I shoot seems like it goes in. Every time I swing the bat seems like I hit it. Every time they hit me a ball, man, I sweep it up. Why? Because I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm in the zone. And I'm playing to win. And I'm walking it out. And it is a neat way to live. So this week, I want to challenge you. Challenge myself to play to win, to walk it out, and enjoy this thing we call life in Christ. If you don't know Jesus, it's be a great opportunity to come and say, you know what, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I need you, Jesus. Forgive me. You know what? He'll bring you onto his team, and you'll be in his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we love you.